God's good, isn't He? All the time. Good thing I wasn't a glass of water. Open your Bibles with me, please, to Matthew chapter 16. Have I told you that your God loves you? You are the apple of His eye, the object of His affection. There is nothing He loves more than you. Amen. You're it. That's why all the stuff that's out there is available to you, whatever would be a blessing to you and help you, because God loves you more than He does stuff. That's what a daddy does, right? All right, we're going to talk about finding your way this morning. And for those of you know that I've taught this before in a weight loss seminar, and I've been privileged to do it another time or two at different places. And next week, not next week, but that's Brother Ken will be with us. But the week after that, I'll get to talk maybe a little about the weight loss thing. If the Lord really put that on my heart. But today, the principle of it really has nothing so much to do with a weight loss or anything like that. It simply has the principle here is how to live every day of our life. And if we get a hold of this principle, we can change anything and everything we need to change. Okay? So it's called Finding Your Way. And I'm going to start out in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 12. Well, I'll drop down to 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say that you are John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But whom say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but My Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." All right? Father, we thank You this day. We receive revelation and insight. We realize that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from You. So we open our hearts to receive, our minds to understand this morning. And we believe that we're going to receive something from You that will change our life forever. We give You the praise and the honor and the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, this account right here in Matthew is not strange to you. I'm sure if you've been in church any time at all, you've heard that many, many times. We grew up understanding that that's where Peter got his name, Peter. And all of us understood that, even the disciples. Everybody understood that except Jesus. Because from then on, Jesus never called him Peter. So either he forgot that he named him Peter, or there's something different there. Now, don't go, "Well, our pastor says we're not supposed to call him Peter anymore. We call him Simon Barjona." You know, no, we call him Peter. But that wasn't what Jesus named him. There's only, I believe, one other time that Jesus called him Peter. And that was at the end, I believe, after the resurrection, when He was talking to him and He called him Peter, and he was trying to get him to understand something. But from then on, when you read Jesus speak, you'll see Him call him Simon, son of Jonah. Okay? So when He said, "Thou art Peter," what was He talking about? Well, the word Peter there is the word Petros or Petra, and it means to be solid or part of a rock or a rock. And so when Peter said this to Him, Jesus looked at him and He said, "You are solid in this area. Or you are understanding this. You've got this together." Okay? Again, if you just check it and check me out, if you don't think I'm telling you right, you'll find out. When Jesus talks to him from then on, he still calls him Simon Bar-Jonah. Now, again, we called him Peter, and that's okay. We're going to always call him Peter. We get to heaven, we're going to call him Peter, right? That's his name to us. That was his name that everybody else wrote. Except when Jesus was saying this, this was not what he was trying to do. There was not a big, you know, thing put up for a celebration saying, whoa, this is when Peter got his name. What he was trying to get over to him was something that Peter had said. And when Peter looked at him, he said, when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Peter was the first one to jump in there and say, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, you're blessed, Simon, because flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. Now, he didn't say flesh and blood didn't tell you that, because flesh and blood was saying that all around him. They'd say, this is the Christ. This is the chosen one. This is the Messiah. People were saying that all along. So that wasn't what he meant was, people didn't say this to you because people were saying it. But what he said was, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. Now, the word reveal means to take the cover off. All right? So flesh and blood did not reveal to Peter that Jesus was the Son of God. But God did. God spoke to his heart and revealed to him, you're looking at my Son. And when he got a hold of that, it changed his life. Now, if we follow Peter the rest of the way, it didn't change all his personality traits. Huh? Peter's still Peter. There's nothing slow about this boy. I mean, he was the first one. He's the first to fight. He's it, you know. But it changed his life. And when the Lord looked at him and said, you're blessed, Simon, because flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Then he goes on and says, I'll say unto you that you are Peter, or you are solid, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, when you ask people, what's that rock? Well, we all know that the rock is Jesus. Amen. But in this situation, he's telling us in a different way about Jesus and about this rock. And when he said, on this rock, I'll build my church. But it's the same, basically the same word that he called Peter. So what's he trying to get over to us? Well, Peter, you're solid in this area. My Heavenly Father revealed this to you. And on that rock, on that solidifying factor, on that situation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All right, so what's he talking about? That God will reveal to you personally who Jesus is. God will reveal to you personally who Jesus is. How do we know this? Because if you don't personally know who Jesus is, you cannot be born again. You can't be born again because your family's born again. You can't be born again because those around you, because you go to this church, that church, whatever. How do people get born again? A personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by me. Right? So on that revelation, on that God taking the cover off, Jesus said, I'll build my church out of that. And then he said this, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When God reveals to you that you are a child of God, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are born again, all hell can't convince you anything else. Why? Because it's not just some way you decide to live. A miracle takes place in your life when you receive Jesus. And you know without a doubt, without a doubt, without a doubt, you're a child of the Most High God. And on that rock, he said, I'll build my church. On revelation knowledge from Almighty God to me and you individually is how he'll build his church, and he'll build your life that way. Amen? That's the coolest thing about it. Because see, you're not one of millions, you're one in millions. You're not just one of the bunch. Oh, well, I'm just a Christian. No, you're not. You're somebody God talks to. You're somebody God has revealed Himself to. You are somebody that walks and talks with Jesus every day. You are that person. And on that rock, He said, I'll build my church. It can't be stopped. Why? Because you cannot persuade any of us we're not born again. You're too late. Why? Well, what did you feel? I don't remember. I was 9 years old. I felt a lot of stuff since then. Some of you, when you got born again, you might have felt something. Anybody? There you go. Anybody else? You felt something when you got... Yeah, yeah. I don't remember. I'm sure I did. I was in a Pentecostal church. We was always feeling something. Come on now. Oh, we're big into feeling, okay? But when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you might have felt something. You might not have felt something. But here's what took place. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have that rock of revelation knowledge in you. And He said, on that rock, I'll build my church. All right? So let's take it further than that. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. What we're going to do is talk about finding your way. Now, if I don't get there very much in this, just write down Philippians 2:12. And for all of us, since we're all born again in here, amen? We can skip this one, but I want to show it to you before we get to Romans. Philippians 2:12, I believe, is the one that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Somebody tell me, did I get the right spot? Okay. Now, you do not get to work out your own new birth. Well, I tell you what, I think I'll just believe that if I do good, and then I do good, then I'll go to heaven. I just believe that if I'm kind to everybody, I believe that if I just don't do too much bad, I'm just depending on the mercy and grace of God. I just don't believe anybody's going to go to hell. And so you don't get to work out your own new birth. Right? There's one way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Right? So you don't get to work out your own salvation in your new birth. You believed on Jesus. That's how you got born again. But now, the word salvation there doesn't really mean new birth. It means deliverance, health, healing, prosperity, soundness, wholeness, to be kept, be delivered, to be protected. All those things, He says, you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what does He mean by that? You're going to have to get the revelation of any of those areas in your life. And where does revelation come from? The only place, God. You're going to have to get that revelation from God in believing in order to walk in it. You got to believe it. Amen? But when you do get to, you get to do that. He doesn't keep that separate from anybody. And here's the cool thing about it. You get to work out your own salvation. You don't even have to believe the way everybody else believes. You say, what I mean is you don't have to believe the same way everybody else believes. There are certain things that you certainly have to believe in your life in the Word of God. But see, well, let me give you an example. Did I ever tell you I grew up in Pentecostal church? Okay. See, in Pentecostal church those years ago, it was a pretty easy church for men to be in. Come on, lady. I got some ladies looking at me and grinning. It wasn't that easy on the women. Because all the rules that we made up were basically on the women, which is certainly the way it should be. No. But the women couldn't wear this, they couldn't do this, they couldn't do that, blah, blah, blah. All the rules were on them. And so we were just convinced, you know, if you didn't live that way according to those rules, then you weren't going to make it to heaven. I'm telling you what, growing up as a kid, I mean, I knew come Sunday morning. Now, Sunday morning wasn't so much. Because Sunday morning was kind of a fun service because it was light. But at night, our pastor always preached hellfire and brimstone on Saturday night. I mean, on Sunday night. And that connected to my Saturday night. Come on, don't shout me down because I'm preaching good now. Know what I'm talking about. And so I got re-saved every Saturday night. Because that's all I knew. I was guilty. And I felt guilty, and everybody helped me feel guilty. Alright? So, see, we were just convinced. I was convinced if I didn't go down to the altar on Sunday night after I, you know, felt so guilty of hearing all of that, that I was going to hell. And I put in a lot of work not to go to hell. I repented. Boy, I was a repenter now. I had a lot to repent about. Still, you know, you are thinking. You're in the same boat. You know what I'm talking about. But see, those were our way. That was our way. When the Word says we got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So, because see, the Bible actually teaches us that some things that this person does doesn't bother them at all. But this person over here knows they don't need to be doing that in their life. Well, that's part of their salvation. I don't mean it's, oh, God says that's a sin. It's something that they don't need in their life. It's not going to help them either spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, or socially. And so they know. Why? Because they heard from God. It's that revelation that comes from Him. And when you live in that, it is so cool. Okay. Here's the first revelation you got to live in if you're going to change anything in your life. Romans chapter 8. Verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you got a King James Version of the Bible, those next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 words are not in the original text. This is what kept us in bondage all the time. Because we said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? To those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we just stayed in condemnation all the time because we walked by the flesh. Or I did. And I wasn't alone. I stayed condemned all the time. And if you'd asked me, if you'd have said, well, you're not supposed to feel condemned. Well, yes, I do, because I'm not walking after the Spirit. I'm walking after the flesh. We didn't know that somebody added those words in there just because they thought they could. The translators decided to put them in there because it sounded good and it might keep people in line. Because in church, we've always used condemnation to keep people in line. We'd use condemnation and guilt to get them to quit doing stuff. Come on now, fess up. That was church. And we did it. But see, what we didn't know was people didn't quit doing it. They just went underground. Why? Because there's no power in don't. There is no power in what you cannot do. No, I know, Brother Bush, but I ought to be able to. That's called condemnation right there. And if the devil can put enough condemnation on you, he can keep you away from God. Because after all, I don't have time to get onto that. He wants you to make you feel unworthy to go to God for His power. If you get it all together, God might help you. If I got it all together, I wouldn't need Him. But, you know, we're not really anywhere close to that. So, because we're not going to get it all together without Him. Okay? Making sense so far? All right. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. The reason you do not have to feel condemned, even though you mess up, is because the law of the Spirit of life that's in Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. All the sin that you do does not produce death in your life. Now, certainly you can do some wrong things that would end up killing you if you wanted to look at it that way. But Jesus has already paid the price for all of it. And before we get through, we'll get to the reason that all that's taken place. But here's what I'm trying to get to, is finding your way. The reason most people can't come out of sin is because they're trying to do it somebody else's way. The reason they can't get things fixed in their life is because someone has given them a way that I'm sure this will work for you. If you will just do what I did, you'll get what I got. Amen? Now, for some people, that works. You know, you may find something that somebody else is doing that may work great for you in the way you're handling your life through the Word of God. But never forget this. The one that wrote it lives in you. He has mercy. He has grace. He never leave you. He never forsake you. You never can make Him mad. You can't make Him leave you. He's always there. And so He will give you the revelation. When we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, we need to keep that separate from, I can do all things if I just do it the way everybody else in church does it. Because it worked for Sister So-and-so, surely it's going to work for me. Don't get me wrong. There are basic principles. Anybody play sports? If you play sports of any kind, wave your hand. Okay. Now, in sports, there are basic foundations and fundamentals that we try to teach everybody. Okay? And they're all good things. I mean, if you're in football, baseball, basketball, soccer, golf, whatever, there are these foundations, and if you teach people these things, it's a great thing to do. But then, if you don't watch out, there's always going to be somebody like Peter. Did you notice Peter's life? You know, Jesus, is that you? Lord, if that's you, tell me to come out there. Come on, boys. And they're all sitting there, huh? We're sitting in the boat, man. Peter, he jumps out. Here he's gone. Right? They come to get Jesus. He reaches over and pulls his sword out. This guy cuts his ear off. Come on now. There's a few of them out there like that. But yet the Lord worked with him, didn't he? Peter's one of the guys. I mean, he's... Okay. So, like in sports, I got these guys I really enjoy watching. Okay, now, let's take, anybody know who Arnold Palmer is? Arnold Palmer, one of the greatest golfers ever lived. It was always said about Arnold in his younger years, he'll never make it. Because he doesn't follow all the fundamentals. And his swing was so unorthodox, it just did not fit golf. And bless his heart, he just barely struggled by. No, he was one of the greatest ever played the game. Now, did he use the fundamentals? Yes, he did. But he also found his own way. And he kept doing it until it worked for him. Well, let's just stay with golf. My favorite is Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson is playing right now. Phil Mickelson, all these announcers, when they're watching, and of course they're all former golfers or whatever, and they'll say, you know, if he just wouldn't do what he does, if he just wouldn't go for it all the time, if he would just play it safe, if he wouldn't just, you know, I was watching it one day, and he feels behind a tree, you know, the ball behind a tree, and he's sitting there, you know, and he's looking down there, and all the announcers, they're talking like this, because we always talk low when it's, that's why I started watching golf, because it was on Sunday afternoons, and they talk low, and I could sit in my chair. And I could sleep and it wouldn't bother me. But then I got interested in watching. But, okay. But anyway, they talk real low about Phil. And they'd say, you know, his caddies tried to talk him out of this because this is not the way to go. I mean, this could lose it for him right here. Blah, 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 and all of this, you know. And he goes, oh, Phil, he gets up and, oh, wham, he hits that ball. And he goes, you know, for 100 miles or wherever it is. And falls right there by the hole. And these announcers, they go, they don't know what to say. Why? Does that happen to him every time? No. Does he mess up sometimes? Yes, he does. But does everybody know his name? I mean, the man wins. Why? He found his way. Now, he's got the fundamentals down. But he's found his way. And this is just in a sports thing. Baseball. Anybody know who Vladimir Guerrero is? Wave your hand at me if you're a baseball. You know Vladimir Guerrero. I don't know if there's any fundamentals Vladimir follows. He's just amazing. He gets up there, the ball will be this high, and he'll swing at it and miss it. Next time they throw him one that high, he swings at it, hits it about 440 feet. It'll be one outside. Nobody ought to swing at one outside. Vladimir will almost step on the plate. He'll crank it out of the park. Nothing he does looks right, except he hits the ball. And he hits it hard and he hits it long. I'm so thrilled this year he's getting to play with the Rangers. I got so tired of watching him beat us every year. Every game he played, you did not want this man coming to the plate. I don't care how funny he looked and all the things he did, you know he was going to hit the ball. Working out your own salvation is finding your way. Your way of coming out of your mess, it might be the way somebody else works, but it may not be. It may be what the Lord tells you to do. It sometimes may match with what, and it'll certainly line up with the Word of God. I'm not talking about, well, God said I didn't have to do that. You know, we're going to follow our heart. But working out your own salvation in spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, and socially, God's got a way for you. That simply says He loves you so much He has drawn it out to fit you. Now, He's the only one that knows it. Totally and completely. You can't find it anywhere else. See, even if you read this Bible and you say, what does that mean? Well, if I go to Jack, Jack's going to tell me what it means to him. And it may be what it means to me also. But it may not mean that. I may get another revelation out of it. How many times have you read the Bible through or whatever, and then somewhere down the line you got a different revelation of how God operated, and boom, changed every scripture you ever knew. You got so much more out. Why? Because it's inexhaustible. What's God doing? God's love for me and you is so individual that's how He said, on that rock, I'll build my church. You need to get your life fixed. You need to have all that. He said, I'll reveal it to you. You need to come out of your mess. You need to, well, I just can't quit doing that. I know you can't, but God can. God can. A lady told me last Sunday, she said, I got to tell you this. And she said, I was a binge drinker. She said, I didn't drink all the time, but she said there would be times in my life. She said, when I took that one drink, I just kept drinking for days. And she said, I'm Christian all this time. And she said, I couldn't do anything about it. I could not stop it. You know, come on. Go along for a while, everything's okay, and then boom, here that thing hits, and you felt like that all of that climbing you did to get to here, all gone. Why? Because you messed up again. But she got a revelation, and she said, Lord, I can't do this. I'm going to have to turn it over to you. I'm wearing myself out. I'm killing myself, not just with the drinking, but, you know, with the condemnation of it. And she said, I just turned it over to him and said, Lord, I can't do this, but I know you can. So thank you for doing it. And she said, I left it alone. And she said, I didn't realize. She said, I don't know how many years went by. But she said, I realized I hadn't done it. I have a friend that told me he was a big smoker and he really wanted to quit smoking, but he couldn't do it. And so finally he just, I saw him one time. I said something about it. He didn't have any cigarettes in his pocket. First time I'd seen him without any. And I said, when did you quit? He said, I don't know. I said, what? He said, I don't know. He said, I just told the Lord I couldn't do it. And he said, I looked around one day and I realized and couldn't even remember when was the last time I'd smoked. Oh, Pastor Butch, that doesn't work. On that rock, I'll build my church. His name is Jesus. He's the only one that can do this stuff for you. But He will show you your way. Now, just as an example, I was in a Dolly and I were in Arkansas. We were teaching this weight loss without struggle. And a lady came up. I had different people coming up after service. A lady came up to me so excited. And she said, Pastor Butch, I found my way. I said, you did? She said, I've lost 90 pounds. And I said, great. I said, what was your way? She said, I had lap band surgery. And she said, that was my way. And I said, that's wonderful. See, because a lot of people would say, oh, no, 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 no. You better leave it alone. If that's not your way, it's not your way. But if it's their way, there's therefore now no condemnation. Whatever it takes, the Lord's going to show you. Now, other people came with other ways that the Lord had shown them, and that's great. But do not look at somebody else's way and say, because see, if there really was a perfect diet, there wouldn't be 6 million of them out there. Right? And besides that, we all know that it changes every few years. The medical, you know, they're right now, what we're supposed to eat now, well, that's different than it was 5 years ago. And it was different then than it was 5 years ago. So everybody, so there's only one way. And His name is Jesus. And He cares enough about you to tell you how to get out of your mess. The key is stop being condemned while you're still in it, because faith can't work in condemnation. Faith really doesn't work in your ability to not do whatever it is you don't like in your life that you want fixed. Because then all you're doing is building up faith in your own faith. When you can just turn the thing over to the Lord. I mean, you can't get much more honest than saying, Lord, I can't do this. Have you ever told the Lord, Lord, I want to? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I didn't ever want to. Did I want to stop doing that? Uh-uh. The flesh didn't even want to. It's hard to get rid of them devils that you like. Come on now, fess up. But in here, I had to want to. So I'd have to say, Lord, I want to. Because see, you can't even supply. Well, you ought to do better. Well, shouldn't we all? Usually those people that tell you ought to do better, you just don't even want to lift up their curtain. Come on now. Usually the people that are preaching condemnation, you don't even want the curtain rolled back to see what they're doing. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that doesn't mean strong squalling and bawling. That just simply means be serious about it when you go to the Lord. And remember, when do you go to Him? All the time. Well, I haven't messed up. I hadn't been angry for 2 or 3 days. I haven't done this, so I can go to the Lord. No, that's that. No. No. You understand? No. It's not the way it works. In fact, go to Hebrews chapter 4. I got to quit here. I am quitting. No, I am stopping. I will start again. But I am stopping today at this. Hebrews chapter 4. Okay. How many of you grew up Catholic? There we got some. Come on now. Okay, see, I never understood this deal. You know, Catholic people, they live like hell sometimes. Unlike us holy ones. And then they would go in, and all they did was confess to this guy in this box. Okay? And he'd tell them to say these 2 or 3 little things or whatever, and it is over with. I thought, no. No. Not with the guilt I go through. Not with the... No. That is way too easy. I found out it's easier than that. It's easier than that. He said, your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more. Past, present, future. So right when you've messed up, oh, right, I can just mess up all I want to and I'm forgiven. Yes, you are. But the person you are in there won't let you do that because that's not who you are. You don't want to do that. We're not looking for a way to sin and get away with it. We want out of that mess. Those things that okay, I told you to go to Hebrews. That's not Hebrews chapter 4. This is so easy. If I can do this without crying. I have turned into a crybaby in the last few years, and I don't like that. I used to tell this stuff line upon line, precept upon precept, and just tell people how to do it and everything else. And then the thing hit me. Now I cry every time I read it. It's a revelation. Man. 14th verse. Seeing then, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast profession, for we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities or inabilities or weaknesses or whatever, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Now, before I get to this last verse that I'm getting to, see, we locked in on the fact that we're going to get to the place where we're like Him in that effect, that we can be all points tempted like Him, yet we'll never succumb to it. That's not correct. In this flesh, you're never going to be perfect. You're never going to do it. Not this side of heaven. So, get off yourself. Okay? Quit condemning yourself because it keeps you from going to God to get the help that you need to get out of it. Did that make sense? I'm not trying to confuse you. See, that's what we thought. He can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Well, since I got Jesus in me, then I'm going to get to the place where I never do any of that stuff. Let me know if you get there. I'm still working on it. But He was tempted in all points, and He did not sin. Therefore, God made Him to be sin for me, who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what He did. All right? Then, because of that, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Grace meaning God's willingness to use His power on our behalf to get us out of this mess. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we can obtain mercy. Mercy? Mercy means you're driving 95 and you get caught. You're not wanting justice. You want mercy. You want somebody to forget what you just did. That's what He does. You may obtain mercy and then you find the grace to help in time of need. God is going to show you your way to enter into every bit of that. To operate in His power, to come out of the messes in your life, to operate in the blessing of life that you've desired so much because it's already in you. He's going to show you that individually. Basic foundations are the same. Okay? What do you think? How could God use Peter if Peter would have acted like everybody else? It'd have been tough because Peter would have, you'd have to tie the boy up. Because he couldn't be like everybody else. That was not who he was, his natural nature. And if you notice that, you kind of carry some of that with you. Oh, we've roughed the edges down some and that like, but there's only really true change in Jesus. He's the only one who can make you change in that stuff. Right? He's the only one who can fix. Y'all looking at me like y'all are so innocent. I have told you everything. And you're looking at me like you're innocent and I'm the only one that ever been in a mess like that. No. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. When it comes to every area of your life, you have been redeemed. Jesus paid the price for all of it. Now, how do I walk it out? You study the fundamentals. You hear from God. You get your revelation and insight, and you walk in it. You don't let everybody else put theirs on you. Basic foundation is the same. Don't go out of here saying any different than I said that. Well, Pastor said, I don't have to do nothing. I can live any way I want to. That ain't what he said. We're going to learn to live by the Spirit of God. But during the time you're learning to be holy, when you mess up, you're still holy. I'll go over here and tell this bunch. During the time when you're trying to be holy and you mess up, you're still holy. Amen. See, they got it. Why? Because the Word said He has perfected forever them that are being sanctified. He has perfected forever them that are being sanctified. That's why we get to work out our own salvation and learning how. Because see, we've let sin so stop us, and our inabilities and all of this stuff stop us because we thought they were so powerful in our lives we couldn't do anything about it, when the Bible plainly says where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. We never depended on the much more grace. We depended on the much more condemnation. And it didn't do anything for us. There's no power in it. The power is in the much more grace. Depend on your Jesus. Look at it. You're a child of God, right? You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have not, you are missing out. See, I grew up in church. I didn't ask you that. I said, do you know Jesus? Well, my parents, no, that's not what I said. Do you know Jesus? You know, because when Jesus looked at Peter and said, who do you say I am? Well, my daddy said, no, that doesn't make sense. He said, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. When you say that's who He is, and that's who He is, and He is that to you, then you just get to take off running saying what else He is to you. He's my deliverer. He's my healer. He's my financier. He's the one that brings me peace. He's the one. Why do you say that? Because that's what He's done. And when faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. On that rock, He's going to build His church. You're it. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ made you free from the law of sin and death. From this day forward, you're going up and out and over. That's the way it is. Sin shall not have dominion over you. That is not a commandment. That is a declaration that God made because you're His child. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you're not under the law. You're under grace. All right, stand together. I'm quitting, I promise. Have I told you Jesus loves you? Man, alive. Now, that's all you got to tell that bunch out there in the world. Because you know, when people's lives get in such a mess, they want a way out. And then the first thing they do is start feeling guilty. And then, you know, if you're the Christian on the whatever, the block or on the job or whatever, they're going to come check with you. And they've probably already been to two or three that made them feel worse than what they were. So, isn't that something? People would always come to Christians and Christians tell them what they need to quit doing. If they could have quit doing it, they'd already quit. Come on. You're the one on the job. They say, go talk to that one right there. I don't want to go talk to him. All you're going to hear is good stuff. Right? Yeah. Oh, no, all they're going to say, not say anything to help you. They're just going to tell you good stuff. Because some people need to feel like they're condemned in order, I don't know what. It never made me do anything but hide. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. That's what the world needs to hear. Yeah, but I've been, I don't care what you've been. Don't care how many times you've been. Jesus loves you. He is willing to use His power on your behalf to change. And all you got to do is learn your way. I'm leaving it right here. You got to come back, at least come back next week anyway for Brother Ken Blunt. But week after next, we're going to get into more of how to find your way. Because when you find your way, boy, it brings attitude with it. It does. I don't mean bad attitude. I mean when the devil comes along, that's not what they do. That I don't care. This is what the Lord showed me. It's right there in that Bible. See, this is what I do. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We will not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I got more of them joined here. No. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I believe if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you, Lord, I know your Holy Spirit is doing the one job you do, and that's telling people you don't know Jesus. And so, Lord, I believe right now that people that are hearing that in them are saying, ooh, I need to know Jesus. Now, if that's you, it's real simple. All you have to do is believe Jesus is the Son of God, that He died and rose again for you, and just say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord. Just honest words from an honest heart. That's all you got to do. And He said, he that comes to me, I'll in no way cast out. Now, if you are a child of God, you cannot be born again. All you have to do is, the Word says in Romans, they which receive this abundance of grace and this gift of righteousness, then you can reign in life by the Lord Jesus Christ. So as a child of God, if you repent over your sins or whatever, change your mind, turn the other way, whatever, just say, Lord, I receive the forgiveness of the sin in my life. And I thank you that you paid the price for it. Thank you for making me clean, whole, now and forevermore. The Word says you've forgiven all my iniquities, healed all my diseases. And we thank you for it. Now, when you go forth, you go out with joy, you're led forth with peace, the mountains and the hills break forth before you into singing, and the trees clap their hands. Where there should have come up the curse, there will come up the blessing. That's the heritage of the servants and the children of the Lord. Our righteousness is of Him. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We go out this day empowered by your Spirit, surrendering everything to you, saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We thank you. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. It's been fun. We're glad that you're here today. Come back. Be with us next time.